5 till 9 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
I know my rent was gonna be late about a week ago. I worked my ass off, but I still can't pay it though. But I got just enough to get off in this club. Have me a good time before my time is up. Hey, let's get it now.
Good morning, 6:38 here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. It's a Blue Angels weekend, a beach weekend part two. I was so looking forward to the show today and tomorrow. And joining me now, we got Alex Andrade. He is our state representative for District 2. Always joins us on a Friday during session or previously on Monday. We find the space where we can, okay? But we're trying to get a chance to let him tell us what's going on at the state capitol. Sometimes it's a little hard to follow Tallahassee from a distance, and we do our best. Alex, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew, and I am always happy to work on your schedule.
And people say you can't be sarcastic. Nobody says that. first of all, before we get to issues, which there are many to talk about, are you going to be able to go to the beach air show this weekend? Too busy with work? What's your plan?
Oh, no, I'm looking forward to it. I'll be out there tomorrow with my wife and some friends and family, and it'll be a good time.
Outstanding. Looking forward to seeing you out there. So, obviously, the big news is the lawsuit that's been filed against the federal vaccine mandate once we finally got the details and the initial order put in for workplaces and hospitals and everything else. You, I know, have been following this very closely. There's obviously a special session coming up. Tell us, first, maybe just clarify for folks what happened yesterday, what the new rules are, and then what Florida's doing about it.
So what happened yesterday is that the White House released a 490-page emergency document. I put emergency in air quotes because it's taken this long for them to even release this document to announce their emergency OSHA requirements for all businesses, 100 people, employing 100 people or more, to either get vaccinated or have force employees to buy COVID tests every week, test themselves, and be subjected to really onerous punishment, essentially, if they don't get vaccinated. So this order will hit the Register today. I believe that the governor's and Ashley Moody's lawsuit will be filed officially today. And then it's pretty much, you know, it's off to the races. We got to go test whether or not this is constitutional. But my money really is on it, you know, not being constitutional.
Well, they're basically trying to shove a camel through the eye of the needle of OSHA oversight of workplaces, right? I mean, that's on the one side, and then on the hospital healthcare provider side, tying it to the taking of Medicare and Medicaid money, right? Do I have that basically right?
Yeah, and on the Medicaid funding component of it, it is kind of difficult for there to be a challenge there. You know, Congress has always had the ability to tax and spend. The federal government can absolutely operate in that capacity. If essentially the premise being, if you don't want to comply with this requirement, then you don't have to take federal dollars. On the flip side, though, with this OSHA requirement, this OSHA requirements are opportunities that the 10th Amendment still matters. That, you know, when we said that all power is not delegated to the federal government, are left to the state and the people, we meant it. You know, you don't. The federal government doesn't get to simply issue fiats. The White House doesn't get to govern by fiats. And if Congress isn't going to use what's called the Congressional Review Act to go, you know, review whether or not this OSHA policy from the White House is an improper extension of the delegated rulemaking authority that should normally be left to Congress. Then we're going to have to go test it and make sure that you know, the Constitution can be upheld and the 10th Amendment can be respected again.
What's going to be the between now and a ruling? Because I am assuming this is ultimately going to have to be a Supreme Court answer. They're going to have to make the decision about whether this is or is not within the power of the White House to create. But between now and then, you're going to have an awful lot of businesses looking at this and saying, what do I need to do here in the state of Florida? I know the government wants to protect me from this, but at the moment it applies because it hasn't been stayed yet, right?
Yes. Yeah, so it hits the register. The rule hits the register today. These lawsuits will be filed. I'm unsure whether or not the states that will be filing suit can receive an injunction to postpone the implementation of this rule, which is set to go into effect on January 4th. If they can receive that injunction, that restraining order, and that implementation date may get postponed.
Okay.
And it may be held off until the decision can be finally made.
And we do, as you say, we have not quite 2 months to work on this, so to speak, to see kind of what happens between now and then. Is there going to be any portion of this going to deal with the current condition of COVID in the state of Florida, which, as we know, is significantly better than the rest of the country? Is that side of the argument going to be a matter for whatever lawsuit happens, or is it purely going to be they do not have the constitutional authority to make this rule regardless of the condition of COVID currently?
Well, I think so. A lot of times in a lot of your different constitutional analyses, the word reasonable comes up. And is this a reasonable, was this a reasonable action? Was this based on, was this justified in the context in which it was implemented? And so those facts do absolutely matter. You can't say that we're in the middle of a pandemic in Florida. COVID is rapidly becoming endemic. It's just something that is here. We've got the majority of Floridians, so well above 50%. Floridian adults are vaccinated at this point. So do we really need to go interfere with people's workplace relationships with their employers? And if you're really that concerned about the pandemic, why are you putting hospitals in the position to fire nurses?
Right.
My understanding of, emergency orders, from the federal government is, the only justification for an emergency order is an impending, collapse of the government, system, right? We issue emergency orders for hurricanes if we're concerned about losing power or losing roads. Last year, the only justification was our concern that hospitals would be overrun, our healthcare system would collapse. If you're not at all concerned about our healthcare system collapsing to the point where you're willing to fire nurses if they don't do what you tell them to do, you're no longer justified in calling this an emergency.
Yeah, we'll see. Obviously, we will see, which arguments get traction at the court when it gets filed, as you said, after it gets entered into the register. Hey, we're talking to Alex Andrade. He is our state representative for District 2, southern half of Escambia County, plus Gulf Breeze. Alex, we got the special session. We finally have a date for this. What's actually going to happen in the special session that Governor DeSantis has called relating to mandates for COVID?
I think we're going to do a lot to try and undermine and oppose what the federal government has done and also provide protections for employees. I think the big debate, though, what you've seen is, whether the state's going to issue its own kind of anti-mandate to businesses under 100 employees. And that's going to be the big test. Your guess is as good as mine about exactly what that looks like if we even do enter that discussion. I personally don't want to do that. I have not seen an argument to show that that won't be an expansion of the size and scope of government currently. And so until I see an argument that makes me comfortable with the idea of us really getting in between employer and employee, ourselves, I have some concern about that. But at the same time, we're going to make sure that the federal mandates are in no way, whatever we can do, we're going to make sure that they're in no way effective here in the state of Florida. This really should be a personal choice at this point.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting. As you say, one of the basic problems you run into in politics and or law is you don't want the remedy to create a problem in the process of solving the problem the remedy is meant to solve. And it often happens, right? And so you don't want to, in an effort to protect employees from and businesses from an overreaching federal government, you don't want to therefore create an expansion of state power that winds up undermining long-term freedom And it's, I mean, these are all the right kinds of concerns. Just a quick question for you, Alex, because I've had a lot of people ask me this. Several months ago, Governor DeSantis came and did a big dog and pony show over at the Garcon Point Bridge in Avalon at the toll booth, and, you know, making a statement that we would have very soon a reduction in the toll. It has not happened yet. Do we have any idea when that's going to happen?
No, I really need to go double check with the DOT and get an update on their negotiations at this point. You know, I can see why people are frustrated. So let me go look into that this week, and hopefully have an update for you next week.
All right, perfect, very good. Well, I would say it's not that urgent, since it's obviously not so far been all that urgent, right? Alex Andrade, he is our state representative for District 2. Alex, as always, thanks for the time, sir. I certainly appreciate it. We'll look forward to seeing you at the beach tomorrow.
Thanks, Andrew.